Having you guys up here up front singing. You're in good tune today. That's great. Thank you, Richard. What a great choice for this morning. A song of love. Okay. Well, welcome, all of you, this great family that we have here. It's so good to see you all here, and it's going to be so much fun. We're all on our own today. We have our choir. We have our lovely Barbara that's going to speak to us today about love, and welcome. I think this is just a beautiful inspiration that I found this morning to go with our message this morning. I express divine love to everyone I meet. As I go about my day's activities, the love I feel takes many forms. I may have affectionate feelings for my family and those with whom I live. I may express gratitude for someone who has done or said something that made me feel appreciated and valued. If I come across someone in need, I may be prompted by compassion to help. Love is at the heart of all these feelings, and spirit is at the heart of all the love I feel and every form it takes. Divine love flows through me. I see the highest and best in all people. I strive to express the love of God through humility, encouragement, and understanding. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4:7-8. Welcome, Zoomers, and if you would join us in surely the presence.
Well, thank you for the opportunity for me to be here. It just kind of fell in my lap. This Pamela Grace couldn't be with us today. She had a big party yesterday and realized, I don't think I'm going to have the wherewithal to show up Sunday morning. So I hope they had a blessed time. I'm sure they did. So let us all take this time to take a deep breath together. And if you're comfortable closing your eyes, that's probably helpful. If not, you can leave them open. Just have a gaze. Learn to stare at nothing. And another deep breath. And tap into all the love that has already been expressed in this room this morning. It feels really full to me. So much love. That is what we are here for. And we need express nothing else. It is our purpose. So as we embrace our purpose, let us think only love, speak only love, and feel only the love in our hearts. This is what truly brings us joy. So why would we choose anything else? Because when we choose it for ourselves, we do choose it for the world. We say we want world peace. we must first choose peace for ourselves in our own life, in our relationships. So let us dwell just for a little bit in that love that we feel. However you conjure it up, you are a love-making machine. And whatever it takes for you to conjure up that feeling of love that just overflows from your heart, be there, be in that. And use the silence to let it grow and expand here for just a little bit. So keep this in your heart throughout your day. Think of it anytime you feel you need it, it's there for you. This has been a practice. You're practicing love. So when it's not flowing from us, we can stop and remember. And we bring it forth. Merely by thinking about it. Oh, thank you. And come back to the room a little bit. That was sweet. That was the quietest I think I've ever heard with this many people in this little space. We could have heard a pin drop, I do believe. That was lovely. Thank you. Because you all did a part of that for me. So, I love A Course in Miracles, and most anybody who knows me knows that. It changed my life. It's hard for me to imagine a life without A Course in Miracles for myself and where I would be. I really can't imagine it. It was in the fall of 1989 that I first read an article that referred to A Course in Miracles, and it did intrigue me right away. And I had started going to a Unity church. I was in Wichita, Kansas, finishing up my degree. And they had a lovely Unity church. And before services, they had A Course in Miracles study group that would meet, and so I zeroed in on that and went. And I can't say that the group in and of itself was very fulfilling, but I was distracted too. I was a student working full-time, going to school full-time. But I knew that what I was reading, even though I didn't understand it, I knew it was the truth. That was about all I knew about it. And it was logical. The Course takes logic to... Oh, I just went away. I think, oh, there, I'm back. Okay, anyway. So, and that's one of the things that I think appeals to me, is that it is pure logic. It really is. Some of the main thing I like to say about the Course for people who just feel a real disconnect, it's like, I feel that the Course in Miracles is trying to show us a different reality. Because it tells us all this is not real. And so that is kind of a big pill to swallow. You know, when we hit our head up against it, it feels pretty real. And it's just a different reality. I can tell this is coming and going. Oh, well, I'm going to ignore it. It's just a different reality, and its focus is love. And if you think about it, for me anyway, that love is in a different reality than all of this. That's what it invites us to understand, that love is on a different plane altogether. And that is the plane on which we were born and made and exist in truth. We have made this as our little playground, you know. And the way the Course explains it, it's like, you know, as parents, do you get upset when your children are playing a little game? And they might be off in La La Land, real at all, you know. You know, parents don't get upset about that, you know. So the good Lord goes, if this is what you want to do, you get to do it. You know, because that's love. Love allows. And so love does not condone, and it does not tell us how to be. You know, we get to create because we are creators. We are made in the image and likeness of God, who is a creator. So we are creators as well, with the power that God gave us. And what could he give us but his own power? So we are extremely powerful from our mind, and that's what the Course really tries to get across to us. Some of the sayings, one of my favorite, I am not my body, I am free, for I am still as God created me. And that is a tough one. I mean, we really do believe we are our bodies, you know. But when I stop and think about it, I know for myself, I have a sense of actually being here before this body. And I also have a sense of carrying on afterwards, after this body is gone. I'm not afraid that I will no longer exist. I do feel like I came in knowing that. But anyway, if you can get a sense of that, and I think many of us probably do, then to me it's only logical that you're not your body. You can't be your body, because you're going to lay the body down and you're going to go on. So you're not your body. But we spend most of our time, there's a great Course in Miracles site, you maintain and protect it. That you do. We maintain and protect it. And that consumes much of our time and energy. One of my favorites is, oh, teach only love, for that is what you are. And that's the one Jerry Jampolsky really ran with and wrote a book. I see all things as I would have them be. Forgiveness is the only gift I give. And the thing about the Course with forgiveness, it has a much bigger understanding of forgiveness, is that ultimately we must learn that there's nothing to forgive. There's absolutely nothing to forgive. And that's another big pill to swallow, you know. A cute one that says, shows how the Course it strives to have a little bit of sense of humor at times. You are far too tolerant of mind wandering. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that is so true. God's voice speaks to me all through the day. That's one of the lessons. So with the lessons, there are 365 lessons, and Your job is to just say that to yourself all day long. God's voice speaks to me all through the day. And there are several lessons like that. And I feel that one has helped me develop such a deep communication with Spirit that I don't hesitate to ask Spirit. I ask Spirit about everything. And I go to cook my meal, say, how long? Spirit usually says 20 minutes. 20 minutes is the most common answer I get, but it works. One of the things I loved with Helen Schuckman's story, who's the woman who scribed the course, she'd struggle over what to wear every day, and you know, Spirit finally told her, well, just ask me. And so she did. She'd go to her closet every day and ask Spirit, and Spirit would point out something, and that's what she would put on. And so that was just a great little example how Spirit is really there even for the mundane, the totally mundane things. We can call on Spirit for everything, you know? And I ask Spirit why so often, and I get answers. I do get answers. And I try to just speak it and let people know. And even if people think I'm a little wacky, I try not to worry about that. It's like, because I do have a deep connection, I feel, to Spirit, and I do get an answer, and I have been guided. Some of the stories I could tell you, I just go on and on. But, you know, it works, you know. So I can't say enough about, you know, working on developing that for yourself, because it gives you such confidence in moving forward in your day. That really, no matter what comes your way, I'll tell a story. I almost fell, some of you have heard this, I almost fell a couple years ago on my walk going down the hill on Bayview, and I was going at a pretty good clip. My legs were feeling good that day, and I tripped on a limb that was perpendicular to my path, and I was going down, and I said, no. And I said, God, help me. And I heard a voice, and it said, get your torso upright. And I put all my energy into bringing my upper body up. Even my arms and hands went way up. And then again it said, okay, you're not quite there. Now get your legs out in front of you. And I put all my energy into pushing my legs out in front of me. And I stayed upright. And I was inches from a face plant on that asphalt. You know? But I know that that's what saved me, you know? And I do think my legs were traumatized by that. And it's still part, I think it's part of the issue with my legs. But I think I could have broken my neck had I gone down. You know, would have been much worse. So that's just an example. There's so many stories like that for myself that just constantly I feel, you know, really taken care of by Spirit. So I have been really involved with the Course in Miracles now for 35 years. And then when I heard about A Course of Love, this is pretty purple one. At that point, there were already a lot of people. A Course in Miracles, I think, energetically opened up a space in our collective consciousness that allowed for channeled material. Because since the Course, there's so many people channeling amazing stuff, you know. And that's what I find it fascinating, and I have read a number of them. By the time I heard about A Course of Love, I had already delved into some of them, and I didn't pay that much attention to it. And also, the thing that it touted to be the sequel to A Course in Miracles, I'm going, oh, really? That's kind of bodacious, you know, to claim that, you know? But then actually it was Quinn Sarah who pushed at one point and kind of said, you know, I think we ought to look at this book, you know. She wasn't a part of it when we did it, but the Tuesday night book group that we had going for a while, we were looking for a book. We'd finished Way of Mastery, and we decided to do A Course of Love. So I have been through it once. And it definitely, I accept now that it is a sequel to The Course in Miracles. It also, you know, even within this, it refers to A Course in Miracles quite a bit. And it even says at some point, I have that in here, that it, The Course in Miracles did open up the world to channeling and allowing more. Because our collective consciousness, which we're all a part of, is participating in this. And if we allow this, then more will come in. You know, more love will happen as we cultivate it. And we do, they say, and I believe it, we do have a kinder world than we used to. It's just we're more connected and we know more about the tragedies that happen around the world. But there is more effort to be kind to one another. And that is a wonderful thing. And so I believe, you know, we are moving in that direction. And they say that Course in Miracles had a lot to do with opening up that channel for us. You know, that so many people embraced it, that it allowed for it. Oh, it says the world as a state of being, as a whole, has entered a time brought on largely by A Course in Miracles, in which readiness for miracle-mindedness is upon it. So that we've brought ourselves to this place, and we are available, the world is available, and we just, when we allow it, it will happen. Now, with most, I say, impactful material that comes to us, there are stories that build up to this. And the one for A Course of Love, well, A Course in Miracles start there with Helen. That is it's a well-known story, but it's pretty amazing, too, that this woman, she risked everything by listening to those words and then writing them down, and then having the courage to publish them. She did risk everything. She was a respected psychologist at Columbia University in New York City in the 60s, in a time when she could have easily been not only dismissed, but fired and maybe put away for saying the things that she was writing down at night. She was very dependent on her coworker who believed in her and supported her 100%. He was there for her every day with her writings and helping to translate and transcribe. She never could have done it without him. So I love the fact, too, that it was a partnership, a collaborative, yes. You know, that they did it together, because Helen never would have done it without Bill. So the woman who received A Course of Love, her name is Mari Perrone. And she calls herself the first receiver. I thought that's cute. And she says in there that everyone else who reads this is the next receiver, right? You have received these words as well. So she's the first receiver. She was one of three administrators for a university program. And these administrators had to work very closely together. And they became really good friends, which is always nice in a work situation when you have to work so closely together. The other two women, Mary and Julianne, ended up both being pregnant at the same time, exactly. And their due dates were within days of each other. So this, of course, is bonding them even more. Well, Julianne delivered a healthy baby. Yet Mary did not. Mary delivered a baby that only lived 5 weeks and had a heart condition and went through a horrible 5 weeks before she passed. Now, many times this sort of situation would tear relationships apart. They could not mend over something like this. But they made a concerted effort to have it bring them closer together. And it did. And through that baby's death, they actually searched for the meaning of life. And they were reading books, and they were doing little groups together. They called themselves Spirit Sisters, which I thought was cute. And so one of the sisters, they don't say who, talked about contacting your angels. And Mari thought, well, I don't know about that. She was skeptical. So that's kind of cute. But she liked to type and write. So one night she just decided to sit down and start typing, and she asked her angels a question, and she got an answer immediately. And she was like, whoa. I really didn't think this was going to work. And shortly after that, she was introduced to the Course in Miracles. When she found the Course, she was completely enthralled, and even though she typically was reading many books at the time, kind of like our Linda Rush, she focused on the Course 100% for 2 years and didn't really read anything else. So it caused her to quit her job. And she knew that things had to change. But that caused a lot of stress for her in her life. And she struggled with trying to integrate this process that she was going through. I don't know as much as Helen. She had really good support too from her friends. But I really hand it to these people who take their lives and allow them to be turned upside down to bring information to the good for the good of all. You know, Mari says she just knew she had work to do for God. That was all she knew. And then her friend Mary said she had a dream about a new Course in Miracles. Mari went on, and this material just started coming through her. And she had one volume, I think is what they call it. This is a combined volume. She had one that was called The Course. And she went through publishing stuff like so last century, right? I think about that, you know, it was just last century, though, where getting published was not that easy. And now it's a piece of cake, you know. So I think that's an interesting progress in our world. But she ultimately put all three, the treatises, I've always struggled with that word, and the dialogues. She's put them all into one book. And that was the one that we went through a couple years ago. And we're going to start again Monday, August 17th, and 2 o'clock, right here at this table, if you want to join us and you want to check out A Course of Love. A Course of Love does not just go on with more Course in Miracles. It really does expand beyond what the Course has taught us. And that was just a really wonderful thing. I kind of anticipated just kind of more Course when I started it. And it's not, you know. And it talks about how we have been for a very long time in a stage of learning. Because we needed to be. Because we created a reality that was not real. But we buying into it. And so we have to like unlearn all these things we have taught ourselves. And so we have been in a time of learning or unlearning. But Course of Love tells us that we are ready. We are ready now to move into a time of being. We know and have read everything we need to know and read to move on. It's not that there's not more to know, but we have what we need to move on. We just need to be it. And that is the challenge that the Course of Love presents to us. It says, you need to be it. And one of the main lessons in the Course of Love is think not. Period. So it really challenges you to leave the mind behind and to just be that amazing, beautiful entity that you are. It talks about bringing love into form. It says, we haven't done that yet, but it suggests that we certainly can, and I believe will. You know, that we will evolve to that where we will have a world where people are kind and generous, without war. We have to hold that. We have to hold that blueprint so that it can happen, you know? And we have to believe it. So, and it's not so hard, really, I don't think. Because when you, I have spent time, and I hope that you guys all have too at some point, just trying to imagine what the world would be like if there was no war, if there wasn't competition but cooperation, if we sincerely cared about every set of eyes we meet, you know, it would be a different world. And that feels really good to me. It's kind of like a meditation. It is a practice. I practice that, and I try to envision it coming into existence, bringing love into form. Will that not be a wonderful day? So I'm thinking just to be the oneness. And yeah. So Spirit knows that's pretty tall order. But it is what we're here to do, I believe. You know? And so why not? Because it feels good too, is the thing, is that when we do that, we feel better. We don't feel good when we're angry or upset. We never feel good, you know? We feel justified, but it doesn't make us feel good. So, you know, just to work on remembering and practicing and bringing that world of love in form to be part of this cosmic shift is what I'm excited about. And I hope that you all are too, because you are part of it as well. Thank you.